PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. It's in a book, a reading rainbow, reading rainbow.
Hi, welcome to the Starship Enterprise. From the television show Star Trek, The Next Generation. Now, you might have seen me here before, on the bridge, as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, the ship's navigator. But now, let me show you something I'll bet you haven't seen before. None of this ever appears in an episode of the show, but without it, there just wouldn't be a Star Trek, The Next Generation. Same is true of everything on TV. What you see on the screen just isn't the whole story. Now, here's a book about all the people, equipment, time, and energy it takes to make a TV show about an ordinary rabbit who becomes a superhero in The Bionic Bunny Show.
The Bionic Bunny Show by Mark Brown and Lorene Krasny Brown.
Read by Gene Klavan.
Good morning,
said Wilbur. You're late, grumbled the director. Wilbur only had 10 minutes to get made up, go to wardrobe, and finish learning his lines.
Hold still,
said Maxine, the makeup woman.
I have to make you look strong and smart. It isn't easy, you know,
she joked. With practice skill, the wardrobe department transformed Wilbur into the Bionic Bunny. First, they snapped on his costume with the built-in muscles. They tied his bionic sneakers, which made him taller. They strapped on his bionic wristwatcher, which supposedly let him see anything anywhere. And finally, they pulled on his bionic ears, which supposedly let him hear everything.
Everyone on the set, ordered the director.
Speak up, mumbled Wilbur. I can't hear a thing with these darn ears on.
The crew switched on the lights and tested the microphones. They moved the last sets into place and quietly wheeled the cameras into position.
Tilt camera one up to make Wilbur look taller in the opening shot.
Wake up, Wilbur,
called the director.
Let's make television.
And now,
said the announcer,
with a twitch of his nose and a wiggle of his ears, the one who makes the impossible possible. Bionic Bunny!
This is a stick-up.
Oh, dear.
Lock all the doors. Nobody's gone nowhere.
We've been robbed. Help!
So long, suckers. To the rescue. A brick wall never stops the Bionic Bunny. I'll just twitch my nose and wiggle my ears. Here I come!
Cut, shouted the director. What's the matter, Wilbur?
I need a Band-Aid.
If those bricks were real and not rubber, you'd need more than a Band-Aid, said the cameraman. Places, everyone. Action.
Oh, no. It's the Bionic Bunny.
Quick, to the Ratmobile.
Drop those guns, you rubber ribbon rats. Oh, shucks.
Cut,
called the director. Wilbur, you should know your lines. Sometimes it amazes me that you can even remember your name. The script man's voice came from the control room.
Drop those
those guns, you rotten robber rats.
Ready, action.
Step on it, Big Cheese. If we can beat the Bionic Bunny to the secret hideout, we'll get away.
I'll just use my bionic ears to tune in on those rats.
If we can beat the Bionic Bunny to the secret hideout...
So they've got a secret hideout. Not so secret when I show up. Boy, that Ratmobile really travels. I'll have to make a bionic leap over that building to catch up. With a twitch of my nose and a wiggle of my ears...
Cut! Called the director. Set up for the bionic leap. Wilbur, you pose for three shots. Now remember, just look like it's easy. The editor will put these shots together so that it looks like you did it yourself.
Rolling, please.
Speed. I can see everything up here, except those robbers. I'll just tune them in on my bionic wristwatcher. What's going on? No picture. My wristwatcher and my bionic ears aren't working.
We fixed him and his fancy bionic equipment.
Time for some serious research. I'll consult my bionic bunny handbook. Just as I thought. Water rats. I have a plan that will cook their goose.
Look, he's following us. He doesn't stand a chance in this storm. Bye-bye, bionic bunny.
Give up, you rats. I've got you surrounded. The rat trap is set. The bionic bunny is unsinkable.
Cut! Screamed the director.
Help! I'm drowning! I can't swim!
This is supposed to be a storm, not a tornado, yelled the director. Turn down the wind machine. Control room, less thunder and lightning. Prop department, bring out the giant cat balloons.
Meow! Meow!
Meow!
What's that? Sounds like a very large pussycat.
I hate pussycats.
Me too.
Run for your life!
The Bionic Bunny always leaves before we get a chance to thank him.
Yeah, you wait, Bionic Bunny. Our paths will cross again.
Cut, announced the director. Another show finished. Good work, cast. Wilbur, make sure you know your lines better tomorrow when the Bionic Bunny meets the giant gerbils from Mars.
You're kidding,
groaned Wilbur. Wilbur said a tired goodnight to the cast and went to his dressing room. Here he slipped off his bionic sneakers, pulled off his bionic ears and wristwatcher, carefully hung up his costume with the built-in muscles, and headed home.
Hello, dear,
said his wife.
You're just in time to help with dinner. Can you open this jar?
Twitch your nose, Daddy,
suggested the twins.
And wiggle your ears, giggled the triplets.
Look, cried the triplets. Bubba opened the jar, and he didn't even twitch his nose or wiggle his ears.
For every character on the Bionic Bunny show, there are many more doing their jobs behind the scenes. It's the same here on Star Trek The Next Generation. Every week you see the captain, Geordi, and the rest of the Enterprise crew. Worf, Counselor Troy, Data, Commander Riker. Together, they keep the ship running at warp speed. But there's another group of people behind the scenes that you never get a chance to see. Until now.
Take the light
another 6 inches. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Too much of a from this up to this.
Right on it.
Right?
The day begins for us in the makeup trailer, where we're transformed into our characters for the show. Some of us change more than others. Turning an actor into a Klingon takes a bit of doing. In fact, it takes 2 hours every morning to transform my friend Michael into Lieutenant Worf, Chief of Security on the Enterprise.
Stand aside, I take large steps.
When we get to the set, we go over the script with the director. Everyone contributes ideas to make the scene work.
Captain, I've determined what is my function on the freighter. So you get
so
a sense
to build
of
that.
Yeah, building it. You're tightening up the action.
Start with it.
You take your best shot.
All right, let's rehearse.
Pick up bushes.
Twilight, rehearsing from the top.
Action.
Solar flares are...
During rehearsal, the director blocks the action for the scene, and we practice it with the dialogue.
Here comes Jonathan.
One of our quarrelsome guests.
Waiting for you in the observation lounge.
And that takes us to this.
A scout ship reported two inhabited planets, one of which was on the verge of acquiring space travel.
Ah, that in 2 centuries, neither civilization...
Rehearsal is going well.
I find it strange.
So the director begins final preparations to shoot the scene.
In here, and in anywhere in there, I want to come
He directs
here.
The cameraman to roll the cameras into position. Sound is put in place, and lighting is adjusted.
Do this one.
Yeah. Lose a single.
The actors get ready with a few vital finishing touches.
Hey, Daryl. All right, here we go. Places, please.
They should still look left.
The crew has done a great job and everything is ready. Now they look to us, the actors, to bring the scene to life. Focus for the camera is measured.
And roll, please.
We wait for the director's cue.
Background.
Action, LeVar.
Solar flares are increasing in magnitude, Captain. The shields are shaky, but they're holding.
Maintain. How are our rather quarrelsome guests?
We're waiting for you in the observation lounge, sir.
Mr. Data, what can you tell us about the inhabitants of this system?
Good.
That's a cut.
The scene is shot from many angles. Now the cameras are rolled into a new position and props are moved out of the way. We're ready to shoot the scene from a different point of view.
Jonathan, take your position behind Brent for a second.
Rolling, please.
Speed.
Background.
And action.
And here's what the cameraman sees through his lens. This is a master shot. That means the major characters for the scene are in the shot.
The only recorded contact with the Daedalus system was over 200 years ago. A scout ship reported two inhabited planets.
Now the captain's close-up.
Mr. Data, what can you tell us about the inhabitants of this system?
Now Riker's reaction shot.
Action.
Not very much, sir. The only recorded contact with the Daedalus system.
And Data's close-up.
Action.
The system was over 200 years ago.
And so it goes. Shot after shot after shot.
Mark only.
Background.
Action.
Close-ups, establishing shots, reaction shots, two shots, zooms, pans, wide-angle shots. How do you make a show out of all of this? You take it to an electronic editing house.
Solar flares increasing in magnitude, Captain. Shields are shaky.
We're here at the Post Group in Hollywood, California, where a lot of the post-production work for Star Trek The Next Generation is done. And this is Rob Legato. He's the show's visual effects supervisor. He's here working with a couple of the guys from the post-production team on some of the scenes we shot the other day. Hiya, Rob.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Welcome.
LeVar, I'd like to introduce you to Fred Ramondi and Rich Thorne. This is LeVar Burton.
Hi, LeVar.
Hiya, Fred. Hiya, Rich. So this looks pretty complicated. What are all these buttons and knobs?
Well, actually, everything in the room is a remote control for all the tape machines, which are actually downstairs in the basement, so to speak.
Aha. Uh-huh. And what your keyboard there then is...
This is a computer that lets me roll the tape machine to a specific point to make an edit.
Well, let's edit some film.
Great. Okay. But we were working on scene 42.
So remember scene 42? The one with the solar flares and the
board
and the...
That's right. That's right. So what are we doing first?
The one we cut to the wide shot.
Okay.
Solar flares.
Editing film, or videotape, is like putting together a puzzle. And each shot is a piece of that puzzle. The editor rolls through all of the shots, selects the ones that best tell the story to make a scene. When all of the scenes are put together, we have a show.
Solar flares increasing in magnitude, Captain. Shields are shaky, but they're holding.
Maintain. How about our rather quarrelsome guests?
They're waiting for you in the observation lounge, sir.
Data, what information can you give us about the inhabitants of this system?
Not very much, sir.
But what makes Star Trek unique happens next. Those amazing special effects.
Ship reported two inhabitants.
Captain, we're passing Warp 10.
Rob and his team create these effects in some very surprising ways.
So, Rob, where does this process of visual effects start?
Well, it starts with the script. They write a scenario, and they describe what they think it should be, and then I have to take a look at the script and interpret it and decide what I think it should be.
Well, in this scene, the writer says they enter cautiously. In the center is a shiny black box. It pulsates with a glowing light.
Well, after I read that, I decided to make it about 100 feet tall.
And this is what you came up with?
And this is what I came up with. So what we decided to do, since this is in keeping with the rest of the script, everything was octagonally shaped, we decided to make an octagonally shaped model made out of old model parts, pieces from aircraft carriers and tanks and planes and cars.
So in creating these things, you can use absolutely anything.
You can make this little tiny object, which is about 2 feet tall, look like it's 100 feet tall.
Now, one of the effects that everybody loves in Star Trek is the transporter effect, beaming in and out. How do you do that?
Well, first it starts, again, with the script where they describe that might be a sparkly pattern or whatever, and then you have to figure out how to make that sparkly pattern. And one of the ways of doing it is actually take sparkles, like you buy at a hobby shop, and you need to suspend them somehow. Either you can suspend them with wind or air or whatever, or the easiest way is to suspend them in water. Uh-huh. And simply take regular sparkles and dump them in a water tank. And then stir it up, and then start filming it after you've stirred it up. It looks like...
Look at that. You can actually see those sparkles in the beam-up effect.
Rob, that's amazing. And what's this little guy here?
Well, this is a little model we built for a matte painting shot we did. It was a painting of the Enterprise in the space dock.
Mm-hmm.
And this was going to be a little scout ship. We didn't have much money, so it was built out of spare parts. There's a disposable razor here. Then we added some lights to it. And we shot those in smoke as well, so you have the little beams that come out of it. And we flew that in front of this painting of the Enterprise, and it made it look like it was realistic.
You like what you do, don't you?
Sure, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's a challenge.
Yeah. Well, I bet you're wondering where the real Enterprise is. Well, earlier today, Rob took me to Image G, where the Enterprise lives. So this is it. This is the Enterprise. Rob, how big is it?
6 feet.
No. I noticed that the ship is upside down. Why is she upside down?
It's upside down so that you can shoot across the bottom of the ship for when it comes overhead.
So it's actually just easier to shoot it with it
right.
Upside down.
Yeah.
And then you
flip the camera upside down and it looks like it's
it looks
going
right side
down.
Up. So the camera is actually moving around.
Yeah, The way we make the ship look like it's moving is actually not move the ship. We leave it stationary so it's all lit correctly. We just move the camera. And when you put it against a star field, it appears that the ship is actually flying when it's really not. It's the camera that's doing all the moving.
It's the camera that does all the work. Amazing.
Now these guys are ready to put the Enterprise into space. This, I want to see. So, Rob, we've shot the model. Now what?
Now we have to take all the pieces that we shot of the model, all the various passes that we call it, and we put it together to make one shot.
Aha. What are you going to lay in next?
There's the existing planet,
right,
and the stars. And then the next thing we'll do is we would put the Enterprise over that. To actually insert the Enterprise into a shot, it's a little more difficult than just kind of placing the ship into the shot. One of the things we need to do is actually cut a hole in the background. So we use a cookie cutter of sorts, something that looks like this. That's just a shape of the Enterprise.
A silhouette.
A silhouette. So we start out with this, and what we do is we actually cut a hole in the background.
Wow.
A shape of the Enterprise.
Right.
Then if we add the actual Enterprise into that hole, it looks like that, and there's the Enterprise on the shot.
Now, can you make that image of the Enterprise move in this picture?
Sure.
Whoa!
What'd you think?
That was great. That was great. Listen, thanks, guys. I really learned a lot here.
Well, you're welcome.
I'll see you later, Rob. Bye-bye.
Okay. Great. Let's cut to the ship.
Good, you got it.
Walking along the miles of corridors that there are on this ship, you begin to understand the power that it takes to keep it running. Let me show you something. This is the engine. This is the energy source that powers the Enterprise as she explores unknown worlds. Pretty impressive, huh? You know, there's something else that can help you explore the universe. Books. They can take you literally anywhere. So if you like the Bionic Bunny show, then here are three that'll take you where you've never gone before. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Lights! Camera! Action! Hi, everybody. My name is Jonathan Moe, and I just read this great book called Lights, Camera, Action. It tells you how movies are made. There are three big steps: pre-production, production, and post-production. If I worked in the movies, I would like to be a director because you get to tell the people what to do and when to do it. So if you like movies and want to make one of your own, then this book is for you. Cut. Print it!
Where would 105 men and women, all dressed in black and white, go to play in the middle of the night? Give up? To the Philharmonic. That's what this book tells about. It's called Philharmonic Gets Dressed. The 105 men and women are members of an orchestra. Before the performance, they bathe and dress and get their instruments ready. Everyone comes early so they can warm up and practice. I play the piano, and I know what it's like to play in front of a big audience. I get butterflies in my stomach and my hands start to tingle. But I love it because it makes me feel special. I'm Deidre Avery, and if you want an idea of what that special feeling is like, read The Philharmonic Gets Dressed.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't touch that dial. My name is George, and I have a great new book to tell you about. It's called Ramona, Behind the Scenes of a Television Show. Let me tell you about this book. It's all about how a real TV show was actually made. It tells how the scripts were written and how the cast was chosen. Like Ramona, for example. The pictures show every step in the production, including how the sets were built, how the people and the crew worked, and how the show was finally put together by an editor. This is a challenging book to read. It's a chapter book, filled with exciting information and pictures. Why not check it out?
You know, things on the set don't always go, well, perfectly.
Captain, the freighter's hull temperature is approaching critical.
We're losing the freighter. We have to beam those people out of there now or even sooner, or as soon as I can give the order.
That's a car.
Captain Toujon, we're not able to attach the what's her names. Captain Toujon, we're not able to attach the tractor beams.
Can we cut?
Okay. Captain Toujon, we're not able
to. Sorry, gentlemen.
Okay, that's a cut.
Oh! Sorry, that's a cut. Did I get the assistant Oscar for that?
You know, we have a lot of fun, and when we're finished, we've made a show we're really proud of. You can turn on your TV set and enjoy a story well told by the experts we've met today, or you can be the expert by picking up a book. When you read a good book, you're the producer, the director, the actor, even the special effects magician. You bring the book to life in your imagination. So, the next time you're looking for some behind-the-scenes adventure, pick up a good book. Wonder Beam down. I'll see you next time. Energize. Today's Reading Rainbow books are The Bionic Bunny Show by Mark Brown and Loreen Krasny Brown, published by Atlantic Monthly Press, Little Brown and Company. Lights, Camera, Action by Gail Gibbons, published by Thomas Y. Kroll. The Philharmonic Gets Dressed by Carla Kuskin, illustrated by Mark Simont, published by Harper & Row. Ramona, Behind the Scenes of a Television Show by Elaine Scott. Photos by Margaret Miller, published by Morrow Junior Books.